other dimensions. Through the life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical, paranormal and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Nick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to be talking about self-awareness. So if you'd like to join us, the number is toll-free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free. And the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you would like to know more about us, our book, CDs, Book of Akashic Reading, please go visit our website. First one is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also we're live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team, who work with us, and when they bring me back, when the spirit communicator leaves, I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. But that's my job, and without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie. Do have a great show, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye.
Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have accessed vast knowledge and insight. They come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human mind. Subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well, of course, of your continual life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And we'd just like to say that we are having a spring reduction for our Akashic readings, and this is proving quite popular. So if you'd like to take advantage of this little sale that we're having on, shall we say, do get in touch through our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and just follow the links. Or you can email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com if you want to find out more about our Akashic readings. This is where Gregory will read from your book of life. You, as an eternal being, have a book of life. You have your Akashic records of everything that has ever happened to you. And he will be able to give you this most unique, believe me, it's the most unique reading. You will find out what soul group you're from, who your doorkeeper is, and if you have any guides and gifts of spirit communication. Oh, all sorts of things, absolutely, it's just mind-blowing. So do get in touch and take advantage of our spring reduction. I'd also like to say that we have a merchandising site up now as well, so do go onto our site and have a look at that, where you might be able to get something I don't know, well, we do all sorts of things, T-shirts, mugs, there's just far too many things to name just at the moment, but it's really quite lovely, and we do Spirit's Work logos for your t-shirts as well. Also, what would I like to say now is, oh, look, we have Jack Fresco on Thursday on our show, a wonderful man, a guest that we have. And, well, again, it would take too long to talk to you about him, but he's just an amazing inventor and just something way beyond this century. So do join us on that. You can go to the venusproject.com to have a look at him, to find out more about him before the show if you'd like to. That will be on our afternoon show on, it's at 1 o'clock Pacific time on Spirit's Work. So we look forward to your company there as well. So anyway, I do believe that Gregory is with us now.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey, my dear friend.
Hello.
Hello, my dear friend. Little bird.
Little bird.
Hello.
So, today we're going to be talking about self-awareness.
Yes.
I
will.
Yes, you begin. You begin. I would probably not begin in the right place for you, so you go ahead and we'll take it from there. It's such a broad subject, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to this.
But it's really to do with, we need to remind ourselves, whoever we are, whether we are beings in the spirit world, we are not presenting ourselves as some lofty state. We need to become of that which is reality. Even though we are in etheric reality, we still have to relate to ordinary human beings, ordinary people who are trying to find their way in life. First of all, we have to look at the state of self-awareness. How do human physical beings become self-aware? Aware of what? The processes of thought? Perhaps so. This is what we're inferring with this program, and it's really what we would like to talk about, is how a person who is unaware tends to shorten their behavior, tends to make it into little pieces of behavior which are just repetitive. You're repeating things from one day to another, and the journey becomes senseless and meaningless. You become then desensitized to the efforts that you make of your journey. Apart from the fact that you feel at times, if in any kind of self-realization, that you are merely repeating yourself, or that perhaps you feel that the thoughts and the struggles of that journey, because of their meaningless depth, do not fire any situations within you. You become then lethargic of mind, as well as your physical state. Or it may well be that you are drawn to negativity because of these physical states of apathy that can then grow deep within you. These, obviously, we want to avoid. That doesn't mean to say that the whole situation of self-awareness is to avoid apathy. But what it does mean is that we must try and try again to help people focus away from their apathetic life, which then allows them to give in and instead focus upon other realities of exactly what is possible. And here is, if you like, the rub. It is the way in which people atone themselves or design themselves as saying, it's not possible for me to do this. It's not possible for me in my little life not to have a dream, not to create a new reality for my pathway, not even perhaps to create my own thought. So, for many people, they will walk along their life, and they will merely echo other people's thoughts, and not be creative in stealth. It may well be that many of you will say, well, yes, but a lot of people aren't creative, they're not those kinds of thinkers or whatever, or doers, they just really like to be helped and shepherded along like little sheep in a field. The point we need to make here is that, yes, I know there's been a lot of talk about people being sheep, but actually they're not sheep at all. And it's only because of woolly thinking, it's only because of self-denial that you can or that you may. There, you're giving yourself permission to actually think outside of your present school of thinking. I am well aware that many people in physical life have become conditioned and allow themselves to become conditioned because that's part of the conditioning. Very clever. It's actually because then people find that it's easier to do that, to not rock the boat, to not create suspicion or situations from other people, because invariably, for some types of people, they like to be a part of a herd. It's the herding instinct of some other species and forms of animal. Wildebeest, for example, will actually quite happily chew and munch together, doing whatever they wish to do, and not actually think of anything particular. And they'll just go on doing that throughout their entire lives. But how do you know that that's all they're thinking of doing? Is that because you are accepting their behavior as that is all they do? That's a bit like consigning human beings, really, if you don't really know them, to saying, oh yes, well that person doesn't think, just because you have pigeonholed them because of their types of behavior or the way that they are, maybe even by the way that they dress, or perhaps the way that they speak. There you are, your self-awareness has derided you into that little pathway that, even because of the way you think that you speak, you are actually becoming it. Now, a lot of people think that self-awareness is some lofty thing. It's something that only intelligent people create. But it isn't. It's there for everybody. And what's intelligence in any event? People who gather thoughts and become clear thinking become more intelligent. But it has to start from somewhere. There has to be a degree of learning procession. I understand that any human beings, physical beings, are blessed with perhaps certain intrinsic cellular structure and memory, which is brought through from their ancestry. Perhaps they've been born with a silver spoon in their mouths in some way, in the hierarchy of society. And that what you are actually dealing with here is really a residual effect of the environment rather than what the person is really trying to perceive of self. You may then have a person who collects rubbish. No slight about this at all. A person who collects rubbish who is exceptionally intelligent. And that person collects rubbish, has nothing else to think about all day. Not except collecting rubbish, but in fact, about creating mind, creating thought.
Do you mean the trash man? Collects the
absolutely
the weekly the bin man, as we call them in England.
Yes,
right.
It may well be that.
Okay, yes, because it leaves him time to actually think about more important things.
Well, yes.
I'm with you.
Yes, absolutely so, because they're actually, it may well be that the mind concentrates upon situations of opinion. Where does opinion come from? What is this part of your self-awareness that drives your opinion? ideas and dreams that you've ever had. And it's how you as a physical being have gradually formed opinion over the years of your life because of situations that you've seen yourself with your own eyes. There, it's giving you the first hint of what self-awareness is. Awareness of your environment. Awareness of whom you are. This is not for me to lecture you. This is for me to include you in the realization of who you are. And I am not saying that this is pointed at a particular strata of society. I'm saying that this is inclusive of everyone. Every single physical being presently living, every single spirit having a human physical existence is in this state of trying to find, trying to remember, trying to become aware of self. The problem is that for many people, their train of thought is not held to the awareness of self, but rather to reactionary thought. So they don't actually go through the process necessarily of dissecting what thoughts mean to them, really and truly, but rather just allow the thought and the impulse of it, the energy of it, to drive that person forward without actually having clear thinking. So that means to say that decisions and conclusions are rushed. It means to say that even the awareness of what you think you see, it may well be that part of this awareness of sight has in fact been eroded by people saying or telling you that you haven't seen the thing that you thought you'd seen. Let me see now. What example can I put with this? Oh yes, very well. How about the situation of 50,000 people in Mexico who all see an unidentified flying object, and they all see it at the same time. And that's politicians, policemen, all sectors of society, all within one particular town, actually, because they've all been gathered at a meeting. And they happen to be gathering at a meeting because of one thing, and then, lo and behold, in the sky, they actually visualize all of them, an unidentified flying object from some other being, some other planet, some other species who have come to show themselves, perhaps through ultra-dimensional activity or some other form of activity. And then there is other states of organization, shall we say, that are trying to tell all of these people that they didn't see it. It's a very strange thing that people wear these different hats, and it's not through states of opinion that people actually have rational thought of the possibility of it, but purely because it's against their notion of crescent of thinking. The natural will is to try to stamp it out, that which is unattainable within the mind. Of your own personal conscious thought happens to be that you are failing to be retrained. So what's actually happening here is that because perhaps this is to do with the objector of such thoughts, that if you as an objector of such thoughts say that that's not possible, then you are denying that person's own responsibility of self of what they actually saw. And you're telling them that they didn't see it, that they saw an apparition, or it was a cumulative effect upon the mass of people, and it was mass hysteria that created it. That's a bit like Jesus walking on water, I suppose, or whatever other effect that you would wish to say was caused by mass hysteria. Actually, Jesus did walk on water. So, situation is also that there were unidentified flying objects over various cities and towns of Mexico, as there have been over Phoenix, as there have been over many other cities and places of notability within the histrionics of your world. So, all of these situations are there that some sections of society are crying foul because they don't want these thoughts of self-awareness. What you see is what you get. But no, it isn't. Not if somebody else tells you that you didn't see it. That you were mistaken. I am well aware that people's perceptions can sometimes alter because one person says, oh, look at that, it's a, and it describes the object. And either you have a situation where other people are saying, where, and don't see it, or you're actually having the situation where they say, oh, yes, I see that. Because they do see it. And they're being truthful. They're not seeing some apparition. You might ask them to describe what they're seeing. And it may well be that their description of what you see is slightly different. But of course that's true, because they're actually coming from a different perspective, a different actual place, in fact. Even though they may be standing next to you, they're coming from the culminative effects of their past thought and reaction to those thoughts. Don't forget it.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about self-awareness. If you'd like to join us with a question about this subject, it's not a reading, personal reading, but it's a general question. We'd love to hear from you. And the number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And any international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number's 001-530-876-3222. Okay. So, all right then. So basically what you think you see or hear can be different depending upon your mood as well, can't it? It can be dependent, like you say, upon what others might say. And there are certain people that actually tend to lose this question, this individuality, shall we say, in their own makeup about, they become followers, don't they? They become apathetic, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. So
and they're quite happy to do that. It's like they give up and possibly don't even realise that they can create and they can think for themselves.
Yes.
So lateral thinking goes out the window, really, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. You rather than, I suppose, as a physical being, tend to rely upon the thoughts that have already been created, the decisions that you've already made, the judgments you've already come to about certain situations, relationships, and also to do with the very things that you see. So it becomes then that you will be perhaps ingrained in saying, spirit doesn't exist, I've never seen one, therefore it doesn't exist. Or it's all in the mind. Everything to do with the spirit world is all in the mind. And that, too, is exactly the same situation whereby even if you are presenting a physical seance and you have spirit who fully materialize in white light, you will have people who say, it's a trick, it's a hoax, it's a trick with mirrors or wires and pulleys, I don't know. Some irrational explanation to describe a completely rational sight. Why shouldn't you actually have the presence or actually be able to witness the materialization, physical form from the spirit world? It's not because you have an aberration of the mind in exactly the same way that people observe unidentified flying objects, however that may become manifest. And however much your thought becomes manifest in your mind, Does it mean to say that many of your thoughts are false? Just because somebody else denies that your thoughts can be real?
Let's take it to a more basic level.
Absolutely.
So this sort of person, this person who becomes switched onto autopilot, as it were,
yes.
and ceases to be a creative person, and it becomes a follower. These people can become so lost, even more lost, then if they're, say, their current relationship where their partner or their whole relationship centres around the other person being the leader. Because some people obviously find the breakup of a relationship, a change in their life, it affects them far more dramatically. So that actually becomes a problem with these people, because they're plunged into having to think for themselves again, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely so. It pulls them out of the comfort zone of not of being comfy, of not actually having to think too much about this or that, because perhaps they rely upon the other partner or the other half of the relationship, if it's a two-person relationship, or perhaps if it's children within a family, relying upon the parents, the two parents that are always there in some shape or form, not necessarily there in mind.
Yes, well, I mean, the thing is, though, I guess there are... do you think it helps, then, to have a leader and a follower in a relationship? Or can two leaders quite happily live together in a relationship and create alongside each other?
Yes, absolutely so. I do believe that is a very great and good possibility, that you need to have a situation where human beings actually fire off of one another, not that they are rather insipid or that they just give in to the other's needs, desires, and wishes, because that then, in actual fact, is creating a subtle change in the organics of the individual relationship. And then what you have is a situation where you are in great difficulty, where you are in great difficulty because your conscious mind perhaps wants to think in one way, but you are told by your partner to think in another way. There you are, it's the planting, taking the power away from you. Can't you feel it being sucked away from you?
Yes, so the submissive person has to give in, but if they are spiritually going along a similar sort of pathway, presumably then two leaders will get on because they give the other person more latitude.
Yes, absolutely. It underpins concrete, cements the whole underpinning of trains of thought that each one has. And it then enables the position of thought where they are coming from, the likes and dislikes, all of that. I like ice cream. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. And I never had ice cream when I was physical. Anyway, that's beside the point. The situation then appears to be that I would never, ever begin to enjoy the thought of having ice cream purely and simply because I had never existed when it was made. And in fact, that's not truth, because I actually enjoyed it when you were having ice cream and I was able to be within your cellular memory and your consciousness just temporarily, so that I could experience what your taste buds were experiencing too.
Well, we can't do that here.
No, I know, but because I'm not
that's a good insight.
Not a physical being. Hmm. You see, but that's the point, really. Hmm. That's what I'm saying, that as a non-physical being, we are able, given permission, always remember that, given permission, that the situation is going to be revealed if we can share our experiences. And that is a very important insight to understand of people's relationships. You are not taking power from somebody else. You are not demanding they listen to you. But in order to be creative, we need to listen to one another. And in order to understand, not purely coming from that person's perspective and then go along with it and never think about that situation again. But rather than do that, we actually attain our own thought, our own perspective of how we really feel about it.
Okay, so what era do you think was the most creative in the history of, you know, the Earth plane?
Well, yes. Mm. That's a very difficult state of mind, my dear friend, because we are talking about positive creation here. Is that what we're talking of?
Well, we can talk about that, because, yes, obviously creation isn't always driven from a positive advantage. So, okay. I'm not sure.
It's difficult, you see. Well, I've thrown the spanner in the works already.
Yes, because it could be inventions that actually aren't too good.
No,
like
exactly.
Like kill people in execution.
Absolutely. It can be the creation of beautiful art, buildings. It can be the creation of love. There's a situation. How do you paint that? How do you exude it? How do you actually focus it as a memory from one ancestry level to another? Mm-hmm. How do you enable love of, or what love could be, enabled to become focused from one generation to another, from one time field then of living existence to another? Spirit to spirit, heart to heart. How is that absolutely possible? Quite simply because you write it down. You try to write and share that experience. That's part of your illumination, then, is you are creating your thoughts in your mind or with your spirit. You are illuminating your intuition and your transitional state of mind, which is being creative, other than the thoughts you already had. You are creating improvisation of what thoughts could be. That improvisation is not solid when you first do it. When you first have little thoughts about, oh, I wonder what this feels like or that feels like, you actually tend to move along the pathway of experience, like a child placing a finger or a hand in front of a fire. You feel its warmth as a child. You don't have to pass it on necessarily in writing it down to some other future generation, because they're probably still going to go through exactly the same experience that you did as a physical being in trying to assert what it was, your relationship between your physical state and your self-awareness. What is this I am in? I am a spirit having a physical existence. I am looking out of this physical thing. What's that over there?
Hmm. Do you think that this ability to be self-aware is the most common, platform for you to have to spring from when you go to the spirit world, when you're in the spirit world, that you can create, to be self-aware, to know that you can create? Is this something that is essential in the spirit world too?
Well, it's something that we always wish that human physical beings would admit to or come to the pathway of before they pass to our side of life. Because otherwise it's going to be... Actually, we have quite a job at waking some people up. And some people never wake up. Some people have been asleep for thousands of years and they just simply refuse to be acknowledged or to acknowledge self in the creativity or expression of that which is God. Because, of course, what their consciousness is actually doing is coming back to the foundation of one, to the foundation of the one. Self-awareness is awareness of one. If you don't have awareness of one, there is no awareness. What is the path of being aware? Aware of self, aware of senses, aware of lips speaking, aware of eyes that see. Where is this awareness now when you are physical state. Where has this awareness gone? Once you transcend physical state and move with your spirit in perfection to the spirit world, your awareness of it is a part of your memory of self, consciousness.
On Earth, we would say, well, that's because you haven't got a brain anymore.
Of course, yes. And many people would also cite that the spirit before physical life doesn't have a brain either, or doesn't have a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying God does not have a consciousness. That's what you're actually saying, that the attention or the so-called plan of it all, the so-called rationale of even random thought or even rational random evolution, then.
Yes, the creator of all of this that you can observe in the universe is that the planets that you see, that you vision, everything.
That it's nothing.
Absolutely, yes. Something has to have, yes, absolutely, a consciousness, whether you call it God or whatever.
Yes, and that is not something which only purely illuminates from the physical life. How brazen is that we think that, or that some people do? However, that's of course a matter for them. I understand their perspective, and I too may have had a similar perspective had I not been actually aware of my consciousness and the thoughts that I had before having a physical life. That doesn't mean to say that I was some other being somewhere else upon the planet, but what I was consciously aware of my life in the spirit world before I had a physical life. That's not to say I was aware of that consciousness during my physical life. I wasn't. I wasn't aware of that much. Although I loved poetry and animals, I was drawn to a bit, I suppose. I was also drawn to people quite a lot. I was a bit of a raconteur, I suppose, in the thoughts and the setting of my own physical state. Although I had my shy moments.
So, yes, okay, well, let's talk about that. So were you a leader or a follower when you were on the Earth plane?
Well, I wasn't really a leader. I was a self-expressionist, I suppose you could say. I was a person who was overtaken, I suppose, by the various states of realization that the monks who had visited the village of Swaffham at that time, periodically, every month or so, that when they came by, I actually remember that the situations, the things that they taught me were about things that were to do with life, but also to do with godly matters. And I actually thought, well, I'm trying to aspire to something that I don't really understand. And it really, I suppose you could say, went right over my head. So much of their kindness was the thing that came up. And also they were quite sharp too. I remember having quite a few times that they were quite rough with me because I had errant thoughts. And of course because of the fact that they were Catholic priests, they were very sharp on the various situations of faith and religion.
So were they ever like that because you asked them questions, awkward questions, that they actually couldn't answer? So were you thinking outside of the box at that time?
Well, I suppose I could say that I was curious as to why all of this was fit together. It appeared to be, however, that their explanations seemed to lack no boundary, and everything was explained by the same trinity, by the same collection of thoughts that were aspired for every, as it were, given, God-given thought. It wasn't that human beings could have any thought unless it was from God or from the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it was an act of God, whether it was good or bad, basically.
Yes, absolutely so. And no, I was not allowed to have a thought outside of that. Mm. I did think outside of that when I was tilling the land, when I was hoeing or breaking up soil, or when I was planting plants or seeds or whatever it was, when I was just doing mundane physical, objectionable things, perhaps some might say, in physical life, they weren't to me. I was very much a person who worked with the earth, and I loved the earth for providing me with some kind of sustenance, and I was very grateful for it, for everything that happened to me. I wasn't very grateful of being run over by a coach and four horses, but there again, nor is anyone else necessarily being grateful whether they pass in an airplane accident or whatever it is. Their situation, however, has to be either of one of forgiveness because of the actions of others, or if they cannot forgive, then they are sent into a spiral of turmoil. These are things I have learnt, and I learnt them very quickly, both in my physical life and also in the spirit world. When I came here, I understood much about my previous life before I had a physical journey. All of a sudden, there it was, opened out in front of me. I had an ability to think, and I could create that ability. That's the point. That is the wondrousness of it. And for people who fail to see, it's just because they fail to see. It's not because it doesn't exist. It's perhaps because they don't have the right information. Self-awareness. You have to strike the chord, pluck the string of life in order to hear the reverberation. Otherwise, you will only hear silence. Your thoughts will become lame, uninterested, uninspired. If you do not pluck the string, you will not hear the resonances of life. You will not hear the beauty which sounds from one hill to another as your voice echoes upon its pathway.
So what you think you see or hear can be different depending upon your mood and what others might say around you.
Absolutely,
and depending
yes.
whether you're a leader or a follower, the impact of that will have the varying degrees of
what you see and hear.
Exactly, and of how much notice you take of other people. And I think that's a crucial point,
yes.
is that if you're a leader and you are thinking outside of the box and you are self-aware, then this person isn't going to take any notice of being thrown off track, shall I say, by what other people are saying.
Yes, or energies are pulling you this way or that way. It's like a magnet that's moving along their pathway, and that there are all these other magnets that are trying to either draw energy from you or push energy into you because of their thoughts and their aspirations, their thinking. And what's happening is that you have all of these different positions of people either sucking from you or pushing into you, forcing with their own power, trying to make you think the way that they want you to think, so that they can be manipulative or so that they can give you something. Maybe it's not something which is derogatory, but rather something which is very loving, very giving. That's an indication then of the possibility, not just through actual physical relationships. We're talking about the drawing here of energies, of creating love within a self. That's a different energy then to the other aspirations that human beings tend to move along. In their day-to-day lives, they don't just think of love. Human beings generally are preoccupied by other things, either to do with perhaps their own physicality, perhaps to do with just the one physical thing that they're doing, so they're concentrating on that because they don't want to lose their fingers if they're driving some kind of machine, or they don't want to have some kind of accident or make an error in their judgment or decision-making processes. This is because the physical being has been trained to think in this way or that way. There you are. You are becoming preoccupied by your train of thought. However, this also brings along a possibility of self-awareness when you are able to concede a motability, a degree of motability, whereby you don't actually have to employ all your thought into that giving or into that doing thing. that you're creating in your life, but that actually you're able to think of something completely different while doing some other physical action. Therefore, you become more empowered about the way in which your self-awareness allows you to multitask, to create other situations independently in physical life. A bit like a person who plays independently, perhaps to do with a musical instrument or something like that. Most musicians are independent thinkers. And this comes about not because of actually being able to arrange the fingers in a certain way if they're playing a trumpet, cornet, or perhaps something a bit more complicated like a flute. It is actually coming about also because they're correlating it with their lips, with their breath, with their the way that they breathe, with how sharp or how focused that breath is. All of these things all add up, in fact, to a really beautiful transient mixture of how the human brain operates and how the physical and spirit state become inspirational tools for allowing transcendent thinking to move beyond the present physical ability. So the physical ability becomes an automatic response, rather, to a series of indications that person feels through chemical inferences arising in the physical body. But it's also to do with intuition of thought. Therefore, it's actually coming from the superconscious state rather than, and the etheric body, rather than necessarily the physical actual organism. Because otherwise you're saying, well, where is thought born? How is thought born? If you are becoming self-aware and you are playing a piece of music, you are not just playing it methodically, note for note, as you have been taught. You may well do that to begin with, and then you become inspired about how to influence certain notes, how to bring about conditioning of those notes to make them sound different. You are being creative.
Well, yes, there are so many avenues, aren't there? And yes. So much of being creative.
But what we have to understand, even as a spirit being, and because I'm not saying that just because people are living in the spirit world, that it means that they know everything. Very few do, in fact. And all of those, this also encompasses all of those who think that they're enlightened. Because they're saying that they're enlightened means that they're not. Purely, as I always say, because of the act of thinking that you are something, that you are this being, means that you have already overplayed it. That you have already stated this is a fact. So, why have you encrusted yourself in such a thought? Wouldn't it be better to actually want to say, I continue to create in my life? Not I am an enlightened being, or I am an ascended master.
I continue to create in my life, and hopefully what I have learned and I understand might help other people. So, because obviously we have to have, like for instance, what would be the point of having you and the White Cloud Group on our show talking to people if we didn't think that you could help us? So therefore, automatically,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? So
I understand
automatically
that.
We appreciate that you are of what we on earth call of higher minds, and it's just an easy way to describe it.
So. I understand that, but what you also have to understand, though, is that because of the fact that I had a normal, rational, physical life, just like you are having now, I am trying to say to you, I am coming from a different perspective, not as this teacher, but as a person who is living through experience.
Yes, you see, people that are into ascensionism and, you know, the ascended masters and the reincarnation of having to have so many lives and then ended up being this very spiritual person.
Therefore, enabling them to become closer to God, so to say, when in fact that's in actual fact a denial of the state of pure self, because you are God already. You don't have to have endless physical lives in order to try to be God-like. There is no indication that anyone does, because it appears to be that each physical life, it may well be blameless, it may well be beautiful, but that's nothing to do with some previous experience. It's to do with the occasion of that conscious mind and spirit being at one. There it is. You can see God in reality.
Yes, well, so what I was saying is that people that think along those paths specifically would maybe think that because you didn't know nothing, you knew not a lot when you were on the earth plane, that why would they listen to you? Because we get that a lot, don't we?
Not that specifically.
Yes.
Who do you think you are?
No, not that specifically, but, well, you know, that's really great that Gregory said that, but of course he didn't know that much, did he, when he passed? You know, it's like that you don't know anything because you didn't know anything when you were here, if you know what I mean, because they can't get past that.
Yes, I understand that, but that's coming actually from the predisposition that spirit is essentially
reliant on the earth.
Reliant upon the earth, and actually has no identity outside of it.
Mm.
And therefore, that's like saying God has no identity. Or it's like saying that the energy of purity has no force or no worth. Love has no worth or no force unless human emotion dictates it. That's really what you're saying. And that love cannot exist outside of human emotion. What rubbish. All animals prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have conscious settings, that they have emotion, that they have love ties, that they have... These are not just motor automatic responses of their population in order to continue their physical journey. They actually have nurture. They have journeys of remembrance. They have situations of loving kindness because they care for their young, because they care for one another. If they are living in a pack, they are caring for one another. They are looking out for the whole as well as for self.
Don't you think that we take, as human beings, we take the path of least resistance, though? You know, so...
For some people, they appear to, and others appear to take the path of greatest resistance in order to try to overcome certain attitudes of mind. Again, it's enabling the actual process of how one being allows self-awareness or understands the real portent of self-awareness. What does it truly mean? It means, dear friend, that you can assimilate and understand that you are truly a part of that wonder of God, that wonder of the love which can emanate from all attention, from all imagining, from all wish to give of service, from all empowerment. All of these facets of life which can come about through the realization of self, that you are a part of the infinite creation of all.
Okay, well, we're going to be continuing this conversation because I have so many more questions personally at this very moment,
yes.
And I'm sure some more will crop up before then.
Yes. Absolutely.
But so. It's going to be quite good because we're going to be having Jack Fresco on Thursday talking
yes.
about somebody who thinks outside of the box, who is creative.
Yes, absolutely so. And I will be listening to all he has to say.
Mm. Fantastic. Okay. Thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway. Remember, dear friends, always keep your mind open. You never know what may happen.
And thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us and our Akashic readings. And do join us again on Thursday when we have Jack Fresco on, wonderful, wonderful inventor and amazing person. And his website is thevenusproject.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.
A dead